Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching entitled Killing Sacred Cows was recorded at our 2009 Houston Gospel Truth Seminar and is being broadcast exclusively for our radio listeners. And now, here's Andrew.
And I won't mention this name either, but one of the leading people in the United States that has major television networks and is one of the largest influences on our generation started off as a Presbyterian when they were a child. And this guy's sister got sick and died as a young girl. And the church said, well, God had a purpose. God took your sister. This was God's will. It's working together for good. And this person said, I don't believe there is a God. I don't believe God would do something like that. And then he said, if there is a God, I don't want anything to do with him if he killed my sister. And so this guy now has become a television magnet that has cited that example and has said publicly that he is using his influence to change the Judeo-Christian ethics of the United States because he hates God. And he's an atheist or an agnostic at best. And if there is a God, he hates him for the things that he's done. Religion did that. And because of it, there are many of you that have been exposed to a lot of ungodliness through this man because religion planted that seed of hatred and bitterness on the inside of him. Religion did that. That is a doctrine of man that makes the fact that God's a good God just have no effect. We say God is a good God. He's so good that he's liable to kill you. He's liable to put cancer on you. He's liable to make your marriage fall apart because this is going to be good for you. And then somebody who jumps off of a rock that they had a sign there, no diving because it was dangerous, and they went ahead and violated the sign and did this, and by their own admission, wasn't seeking God and was living a life of rebellion and jumps into a pool and hits on shallow stuff and breaks their neck and becomes quadriplegic, starts saying God did this to them to get them flat of their back and it's worked together for good. God didn't do that. Now, God can bring good out of it, but God did not do that. They did that because by their own admission, they were living a life of rebellion towards God and towards all authority. And their rebellion led them to become a quadriplegic. And now they blame God and say it was God's will for them to be this way. That's wrong. God did not make them a quadriplegic. So this scripture says, and we know. That means you've got to be operating in intercession and operating in a form of intercession where the Holy Spirit takes hold together with you and quickens it. And if you are flowing in supernatural intercession, then God can work it together for good. Notice also, this verse, Romans 8:28, does not say, and we know that all things come from God. That's read into this verse. And people all of the time read this into it and they just, well, this right here says that everything comes from God. There's nothing, there's no mention in here that God causes it. But God can take anything, even bad things, and bring something good out of it. But this isn't saying that God is the cause of it. You know, in my oldest son, Joshua, he's now 34 next month. When he was 1 year old, he was helping me load lumber. Well, I mean, he wasn't loading. I was loading lumber in a lumber yard. This was in Sigaville, Texas. And it was in August. It was hot. And he was running around the lumber yard playing. And it was a dirt, drive and stuff. And he was getting dirty and stuff. And about 2 o'clock, I mean, it was really, really hot. About 2 o'clock, he was beginning to get sleepy and wanted to take a nap, and so he started to lay down in the dirt, and he had already been sweating, and I mean, he would have been a mess. And so I rolled down the window on the cab of this truck and put him in there, and that cab of that, the window, the bottom of the window was over my head, so it was 6.5 feet tall, and he had been wanting to get into that truck all day long, And when I rolled the window down so he wouldn't be hot in there and told him to lay down and take his nap, boy, he revived. And he got excited and he started leaning out of the window, and I was on the back of the truck and he was looking at that side mirror and waving at me. And so I went up and I told him to lay down and take a nap, and he didn't do it, and he got up again. So I even gave him a spanking. I said, Joshua, you got to lay down. You're going to hurt yourself. Lay down and take a nap. He disobeyed me. He leaned too far out of that truck, fell out of that window, hit his eye on the running board and landed right on his head on the ground. And, you know, he could have broke his neck. He could have done something really bad. I went up and grabbed him, and of course he was crying. And as soon as he quit crying, I said, now, Joshua, this is what I told you. I told you to lay down. If you would have obeyed me, you wouldn't have gotten hurt. And I used that example to teach him something. I brought something good out of something bad that happened. But I didn't cause him to fall out of that truck. If he would have been like a Christian, he would have gone out and told all of his friends, my dad is such a great dad that he pushed me out of that truck. He knew I was going to do it, and he made me fall out of that truck, and I got a black eye, and I landed on my head. I could have broken my neck, and my dad did that to me because he loved me. If you could prove that I did that to him, any civilized society would do something with me. They'd arrest me. They'd punish me. That's child abuse. It's wrong. But did I bring something good out of it? Sure. I took the example. And when I found out that he was okay, I explained to him, now this is why you need to obey me. And I taught him something good out of it. But I didn't cause that. God can take bad things if you are interceding. And the Holy Spirit, if you're seeking God, God can bring, you can learn something out of it. But don't blame God for it. If you've been rebellious towards God and just doing your own thing, you know what? You break your neck and you become quadriplegic and you're laying flat of your back so the only way you look is up. You know what? You could turn to God. You could learn that my way wasn't the right way. God, I think I'm going to serve you. I'm going to commit my life to you, and something good could come out of it. I don't doubt that God has touched this person and that something good has come out of it. But God did not make them quadriplegic. That is not God's will. And for you to say that, that is a doctrine of man that just makes the goodness of God have no effect. You just nearly have to turn off your brain to sit there and say, oh, God's such a good God. He made me quadriplegic. That doesn't compute. That doesn't fit. And that's what a lot of religious tradition is mindless stuff, just traditions and doctrines of man. And I believe that the reason it's so popular to teach this is because it takes all responsibility away from you, regardless of what you do. Be in rebellion towards God, be in rebellion towards your parents, be in rebellion towards God, ignore the warning signs, dive into a shallow pool, break your neck, and it was God's fault, not yours. God did that to you. You don't have to admit that I was wrong. I made a mistake. You don't have to admit that you ever did anything wrong. God made all of it happen. That way you can just be as carnal as you want to be. You don't have to seek God. You don't have to accept any responsibility. You don't have to renew your mind. God's will is going to automatically come to pass. And I know some of you are thinking I'm being hard. I know what people feel. When I used to pastor a church in Sigaville, Texas, and there was a little boy who died in my arms, 4 years old, died while I was praying for him. I prayed for him for 2 hours to be raised from the dead, and he wasn't raised from the dead. And you know what? I felt what everybody else feels. I didn't want to tell the parents that, you know what? It's my fault. I just didn't know how to believe. I didn't want to tell the parents, it's your fault. You must have not been believing. I didn't want to say things like that. It didn't make me feel good. It wouldn't make them feel good. But I wasn't about to sit there and say, well, must have been God that killed your four-year-old boy. You know what I told them? I said, God didn't do this. I said, either it's my fault or it's your fault. Or it's both of our fault, or maybe we just don't know. I don't understand everything, but I said, God didn't kill your child. And you know what? That wasn't comforting. We had a funeral service, and I did his funeral. And I tell you, I was tempted to say, well, God works in mysterious ways. They came to me when my dad died. I was 12 years old, and the pastor of the Baptist church says, God took your dad home this morning. He needed him in heaven more than you needed him. That's what they told me. That wasn't true. It was tempted. I was tempted to say something because it would have taken the pressure off of me. It would have made those people feel better. It would have put all of the responsibility on God's broad shoulders. He could handle it. I was tempted, but the Bible says you know the truth and the truth will make you free. And so you know what? Rather than me condemning them, I said, look, I don't know whose fault. I'll take responsibility. But I said, I'm sorry. I didn't accurately represent God. Your son should not have died. This was not God's will. Anyway, it's a long story. I won't take time to explain the whole thing, but the Lord showed them what the problem was, and it was very obvious after we learned all of the details. We didn't know all of the things that had gone on, but anyway, they had operated in fear because the doctor said this child would never live more than a month and had been on borrowed time. And anyway, a lot of things happened. Finally, the woman found out that exactly where it was that Satan had terrorized her, and she was operating in fear. And the doctor said that the reason this baby was mongoloid, and the reason it was born that way was because the woman was so small, and she had this baby in a taxi on the way to a hospital in, where was it? Nicaragua or someplace Latin America. And anyway, the baby had all kinds of things wrong, but the doctor said you were too small, you shouldn't have ever had children. If you ever have another child, it'll kill you and kill the child, and the only way you even had a chance was to do it by cesarean.
That's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on killing sacred cows. This teaching series was recorded at our 2009 Houston Gospel Truth Seminar. It's available in a 5-part album on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for CD series R1063C or DVD series R3207D when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. The first CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request RK-157 titled, God is Good, God is Faithful, when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934, or call 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111, or go to our website at any hour. You can use credit card to order any of our ministry materials online 24 hours a day at www.awmi.net. We hope to hear from you today.
I'd like to thank all of you who are partners with this ministry. You know, we are sharing things that are changing people's lives. We are having a huge response. We have over 35,000 contacts per month, and that's not including our website, which averages over 15,000 contacts per day. We're reaching a lot of people. People's lives are being changed, and I couldn't do that if it wasn't for those of you who are partners with us. So I want to thank you. And I just want to mention to the rest of you, if you are being blessed, if you recognize the potential blessing that this could be to other people, would you help us to reach out with the gospel? We need to increase our outreach. We've got opportunities, more opportunities, and we've got finances. So pray about it and then become a partner with us today.